Hello, and welcome to Opus on Siouxland Public Media. I'm Gretchen Gondek, and in studio today, Ryan Haskins, music director and conductor of the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra. Hello, and happy summer, Ryan.
Thanks, Gretchen. Great to be back.
I'm excited to hear about the upcoming season and all the wonderful things that are coming up, but I have to tell you, looking at last season, gosh, I was thinking about that extraordinary experience of seeing West Side Story, and I can't come up with the right adjective. It was just phenomenal, and I'm wondering, you've had some time to kind of think about the experience and look back, and what are some of your thoughts today?
Yeah, it was absolutely a dream come true, literally. It's over a year in the works, and a lot of new aspects to producing something that the symphony has never done in its history. That's sort of what we do now is adventure into the unknown. With that comes risk, but that's where creativity is born, and we're able to explore amazing ideas and concepts and bring them to life with an absolutely amazing cast and just uber talented production team, and the performances were fantastic. Really enjoyed them.
And looking ahead to the fall and September 29th and 30th, something very special. And I know that tickets have been flying out of the Sioux City Symphony office for Star Wars: A New Hope, and you have established a very nice tradition of performing the film score to a number of films: Godfather, last season Fantasia, and this is quite an undertaking, and a great film that everybody relates to and understands and has seen. So tell us a little bit about what's going to happen, this live orchestral Star Wars A New Hope concert.
Well, as you've mentioned, we're moving on the sort of momentum that we've developed for film and orchestra. And we've seen new audience attend these concerts, and also sort of the continuation of attendance beyond those programs. So we've seen people who have attended Wizard of Oz or The Godfather for the first time and then came back and attended another program. And that's actually part of the magic in our seasons at the symphony, and is that one feeds into the next. And it's always the most difficult job is to get people through the door. But we know that once they are in-house, they're in for a treat, in for an experience. It's really the magic of what the art is. You can't help but be moved and affected by what is happening on stage. So the film and orchestra concept is blowing up all over the world, really. And this combination of the first Star Wars film, Episode IV, is iconic, to say the least, and the score equally. And extremely difficult. John Williams' music is actually extremely difficult to perform, and it's a play. It's not a short piece, and I find that some of the best film scores involve a massive amount of music, and this film, it's almost constant music playing, whether it's transitions or scenes within the script, but there's almost always musical cues happening left and right from the first go to the very last second of the film. So it's really exciting. Two performances of this. We had two performances of West Side Story and saw amazing response to that. Great response. Community showed up. Many people came to both performances. Certainly to have Star Wars on both of those nights to open the season will be great.
And knowing Juliet Everest and our Sioux City Symphony Board of Directors and all the volunteers that help with the concerts, I'm sure there's going to be some other kind of special things happening around this concert.
Yes, there will. I know on Saturday night you can expect to not only watch the characters on the screen, but also sort of walk amongst them beforehand, which is actually more than, I never knew how much of a process that is, that you have to be, you know, approved from Lucasfilms to represent the brand. So it's a very intricate process to get that secured and have some special guests that evening. And details as we get closer, of course, will be announced for that special pre-event.
So you might run into a stormtrooper in the
lobby.
You
might. Hopefully you don't run into them. But yeah. Watch around every corner.
Well, let's listen now to a bit of music from Star Wars by John Williams. And we're going to hear the Throne Room and finale on Opus Now with the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra, John Mauchery conducting.
Thank you.
Well, that was thrilling. Ryan, music from Star Wars, the throne room and finale. Something that people are going to experience if they come to the Orpheum to see Star Wars, A New Hope, live with orchestra. And that's on September 29th and 30th.
Yeah, it's something that you're not going to want to miss. One of a kind performance. Only a select amount of orchestras around the country are presenting this. We're really in its first season of appearing within concert halls, and we're very lucky to have that privilege to present it to our community and region.
And moving on to October 27th, this sounds interesting. Debussy meets Beethoven.
Yeah, this is going to be a great program. I've been waiting to bring back Debussy, specifically the work Lemaire, which is the most sort of recognizable symphonic work of Claude Debussy's. But this combination, I often find pairing composers together is a fun sort of puzzle. And combining Beethoven and Debussy actually does work quite well, I think, specifically with this work. We have the amazingly talented pianist Jonathan Biss coming to town, and he'll be performing the first piano concerto of Beethoven on the first half of the program. Joyful, cheerful playing. You know, each concerto brings different characters, and of course, as they're written through his timeline, you experience different aspects of Beethoven, much like his symphonies and sonatas, even in piano. But this is a really wonderful first concerto of Beethoven. And then we'll take an intermission and we'll come back. And the first piece on the second half will be a new work written in 2017 by a Scottish composer by the name of Sally Beamish. And Jonathan has, over the years, commissioned significant composers to write concerti that are based off of the five piano concertos of Beethoven. So Sally wrote this work just a few months back, which is in a reflection of the first piano concerto. So we hear some harmonies that may relate, some rhythms, some motives that might relate to the first piano concerto. This is her third piano concerto. But it's really exciting because it was written for Jonathan. So we have that sort of connecting piece on that evening. And I think that nice little break in between, you hear something written, several years ago, and then something written just a year ago by Sally. I love that connection. I love that sort of contradiction and how it joins in strange and weird ways. But it should be exciting. And then, of course, we end with the massive work La Mer, the Sea, which is broken into three different movements, and each movement takes on descriptions of winds and clouds and water and waves. And it's one of the great things about Debussy is his impressionistic way of writing for orchestra. Debussy was quite a rebel. He didn't like to follow rules, and I think part of that allowed him to become, this composer who sort of lives in his own category. There are composers certainly that connect on the outsides of the room that he's situated in, but really no one has utilized the orchestra in ways that Debussy did, with color and with shading and with temperature of writing, with warmness of music, and with a change of harmony, you almost feel abandoned or left behind or almost cold, and then in a moment's time, the harmonies and how they crunch together, you just sort of feel this embrace of the music. So it's an incredible work. Orchestra hasn't played it they played it one season before I came here, which will almost be 10, we're almost up to 10 years. So it's going to be great to revisit, and I can't wait to hear our amazing musicians perform it.
Here's a little bit of La Mer now of Claude Debussy.
Thank you.
a little bit of Debussy's La Mer, and that was the third movement. And what were we hearing there?
The Dialogue devant et de la mer, which is the dialogue between the winds and the sea, the water. That's that coloration, that very special technique that Debussy has, that we sort of can close our eyes and imagine we can see it in, you know, our mind's eye and sort of feel that breeze over us. It's an incredible work, and I can't wait to perform it with the symphony, and really looking forward to bringing this amazingly talented Debussy, or Beethoven interpreter, Jonathan Biss, to the stage.
And then we're going to hear Second City, or see and hear Second City Guide to the Symphony. Now, I have a few thoughts about that. Tell us about this program.
This one is a little out of the box. I've seen it work. I know it works. It is unusual. It's Second City, if the audience doesn't know, is a comedy, a troupe based in Chicago and in Toronto. It's a training ground pretty much for pretty much everyone that's been on Saturday Night Live. You can guess that they have some affiliation with Second City: Dan Aykroyd, Tina Fey, Steve Carell, Jane Lynch, all of these big comedic names. And so they put together a program where six of them come. Not those actors, but six members of the troupe come to Sioux City and present a bunch of sketch comedy acts out in front of the orchestra. And the entire concert is scripted with classical music. The actors interact with me, with orchestra members. They pick fun at sort of the stereotypes that we're used to in the symphony world. They bring up audience members on stage and have them participate in different aspects. It seems out there, but it is a class act when it comes down to the production and the focus on the program, which is the orchestra. It highlights the amazing variance that an orchestra has within its means of bringing together people. And you can laugh and scream and holler out loud at a concert. It doesn't, you don't have to stay seated with your hands folded the whole time. So it's a really fun, creative way of exploring something that maybe we don't talk about very much, and those are the stereotypes, because we're all nervous and uncomfortable about them to begin with. But this sort of sets it out front, kicks it a bit, and flips it on its head. So it's going to be great.
This sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And that brings us up to Christmas mm-hmm. with the symphony. And I know that you pride yourself on doing something a little bit different every year, but it's always very special. So what do you have in mind for this concert?
Yeah, we're always looking forward to fulfilling that tradition that Sioux City and the surrounding communities have been associating this concert with, especially around this time. We love this program because it gives us the ultimate sense of variety, where we combine, our traditional carols and more pop holiday tunes into a really upbeat evening that keeps you guessing. There isn't a printed program. That's my favorite part of this concert, because the audience doesn't know what's coming next. And I think that helps with the tempo and the pace of the whole night. So the special aspect, well, there are a couple of them. I can't tell you about all of them. But one that we are announcing is we're bringing back the Grammy award-winning cellist Zul Bailey, who was just with us just a few short months ago. He'll be in town for some fundraising. And so we've decided to put him on the program as well. So we are picking some really lovely tunes for him to play. It won't all be pop tunes. There's some really amazing work. We're not going to talk about it yet, but it's going to be really beautiful, a beautiful color to this very special evening on his part.
I loved watching him play the Elgar cello concerto, mm-hmm. and he kind of would toss his head, and he has that beautiful dark hair, and just his handling of the bow and a bit of drama.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if you remember, he taught a master class when he was in town, and there is he would talk to those young people about the aspect of performance, of engagement with the audience, and certainly that's a part of his approach to the performance when he gets on stage. There's a interaction with the audience for sure. So yeah, it's going to be great to have him back. Really looking forward to seeing him again.
And then we get to February 23rd, the Amadeus Experience. Tell us about that.
I'm really looking forward to this one. This, you know, orchestras around love to do theme programs and concerts that focus on a composer or explore, you know, their music, or at least try to play three or four of their pieces. It's along those lines. This program is along those lines, but it's something that I like, which is sort of a triptych through Mozart's life. So this is interactive. So there's dialogue. There's education. There's projections. You see letters of Mozart projected on the stage. You see images of him. The concept is the very first notes that you hear of this evening. I will come out and you'll hear the first notes of his very first piano sonata that he wrote when he was at age 5. And from there, we go through some major works that he wrote, significant works that marked some landmarks in his life, all the way through to the very end, some of his last works. The main work is the Jupiter Symphony, the 41st Symphony, and some really significant arrival points within that symphony. When we're just listening to it on the radio or we hear it in a regular concert setting, we know it's great music. It makes us feel something, but I think there's an aspect that we don't understand and don't get. And why is the symphony important? What is the part it played? The concept is that by the time we get to that moment at the end of this program is that we understand why this movement at this tempo or in this key or with this specific harmony, we feel it, we hear it, and we know exactly why, because, you know, 30 minutes before we talked about this harmony, or what happened in his life, why he started writing this way, or how he was affected by his family that way, so that, you know, he started writing in this direction. So all of this comes together. So at the end, you're not only swept up by the emotion of this fantastic work, one of his last works in that last year of his life, but you're also swept up into his story and the journey of his life. And that's the purpose of this program. Everyone knows Mozart was crazy amazing and this child prodigy, but I don't know how much we know beyond that. And tonight, that evening will explain just that, and the audience will go away having just an incredible experience and exploration of who this child prodigy who died so young at age 35, who he was and what he meant to music.
I think it's fascinating. You are also featuring solo and chamber music.
Yeah, this is another great thing that I love doing is the concert is not just symphonic music. The concert features solo piano works. It features chamber music. It features a trio, string trio. It features a quartet concerto, Sinfonia Concertante for Winds, which is the four winds in front of the orchestra. We're doing a movement of that. We're playing his very first symphony. We're doing some choral works with the Briarcliff University Chamber Choir. So all of this comes together in just a thrilling way, and I can't think of a better way to you know, again, we know he's a special guy, but this program really brings it to light and shows us what he was truly about.
The next concert, March 9th, an evening of symphonic dance. You know that I love Rachmaninoff's symphonic dance.
Yeah.
One of my favorite works.
This is a program we've been waiting to announce for a few weeks now because of all of the logistics involved. But we finally were able to do that. The evening is focusing on dance. And dance in two forms. Dance within music on its own, the movement, the swell of music and how that plays into dance, and then the physical aspect of dance. And so we partnered with this amazing modern dance company out of New York called Dance Higginbotham. It's a very competitive, specialized contemporary dance company who are coming and will present two works. One work set to Dakhnani Serenade for String Trio, but we're going to do it in a string orchestra version, which they've never done before. And they'll be dancing right out in front of the orchestra. And then we commissioned them to create and choreograph a dance, a solo dance, for a work of the repertoire, of our repertoire. And so we came upon the great music of Stravinsky, the circus polka written for the young elephant, as it were. So it's going to be great because now we have something to mark this celebrated collaboration that, after it's all said and done, we hope that we'll have continue to have a life beyond Sioux City, that they'll take that work and be able to share it around the globe as they travel and tour. And I think we're going to listen to some Stravinsky now.
How about the Circus Polka?
Let's do it.
All right. A Circus Polka by Igor Stravinsky, which will be part of an evening of symphonic dance, along with the Rachmaninoff symphonic dances, and very interesting kind of contemporary dance ensemble will be performing on the stage of the Orpheum with the orchestra.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And of course, then we end the night with that Rachmaninoff's last major, that major work for orchestra without dancers. So we have two with dancers and then the Rachmaninoff, and we actually start the evening off with John Adams, chairman dance of the Foxtrot for orchestra from Nixon in China, which is
That's
really
fun.
Yeah, a really, really fun work to perform.
We're going to go out with a bang, season finale, and you're always used to doing that. Last year was West Side Story, which is fabulous. So I'm excited to hear about this season's finale, A Space Odyssey.
Right. So in 2019, we will celebrate the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, which many people don't know. What's wonderful is that our good friend, composer and DJ Mason Bates, who we've had here several times, has written a work honor of that, in commemoration of that anniversary. He's used the poem by the great Walt Whitman, A Passage to India, that text, which, if you look at it, describes and articulates grit and exploration and industry and discovery. So he takes the text of that poem and gives it to one of the most stellar mezzo-sopranos singing today, Sasha Cooke. If you don't know Sasha Cooke, you need to get to know her now. She is it right now these days. It was written for her in mind, and of course, we have her here to sing this, but the special quality of this work passage is that Mason is on stage, of course, on his MacBook, mixing some extra special sounds, electronic sounds that are pertinent to the composition, but also within that orchestration, at times when the text goes away and the orchestra becomes or plays in its a very, very soft moment in the work, we hear JFK's actual audio files from JFK's moonshot speech, which, if that doesn't put the hairs up on your arms, I don't know what will. It's really a magical work, a brilliant composition, of course, by Mason, who is one of our best supporters out in the world. He just loves Sioux City and loves coming back, and is always impressed with what we put on and our energy and involvement with our community. So that's the middle work, and then we end with the great Strauss work, Also Sprach Zarathustra, which most people know. That music started Stanley Kubrick's 2001 Space Odyssey, right?
Right. You're not old enough to remember that, but I am.
I've seen it a couple of times. I didn't see it live or, you know, when it came out. But so it's going to be a very special night. And that work, I've visited with a lot of people this week and talking about programming and works that we're bringing in and new works that have been written that we're happy to premiere and promote. But that work, you know, is something that I've been waiting to program for a long time, more than 5 years. But I am so thankful. You know, last season was just an unbelievable run for the orchestra. Just really so impressed with what they've been able to bring to the table as of recent times. And it just makes me sit back and realize how lucky I am and how lucky this community is to work with these very special people. And so, I mean, not everyone plays this Zarathustra, but it's going to be a very, very powerful way to end this season that I'm so looking forward to getting started with.
As we bring Opus to a conclusion today, we've been listening to a portion of Also Sprach Zarathustra, Opus 30 of Richard Strauss, the Berlin Philharmonic, led by Herbert von Karajan. That work to be performed for the season finale, A Space Odyssey, as part of the 2018-2019 concert series for the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra. And it has been a great pleasure earlier in this program to visit with music director and conductor Ryan Haskins from the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra, hearing about the upcoming season. And if you'd like to know more about the upcoming season, information is available at 712-277-2111 or at siouxcitysymphony.org. I'm Gretchen Gondek, your host for Opus. Thank you very much for tuning in today. This is Siouxland Public Media, KWIT Sioux City 90.3 and KOJI Okoboji 90.7, broadcasting from the campus of Western Iowa Tech Community College.